Welcome back to DC Talk. This is episode number 183, recorded on Sunday, December 26th, 2021. Hope you all had a good Christmas, good holiday. If you're still celebrating the holidays, I hope you're having a good one. Sorry. Kind of lost my train of thought there. But anyway, I'm Carrie, and I am flying solo again. Mike seems to have the plague or something. He's under the weather. So it's just me tonight. Sorry. But, I wanted to round out the year with one last episode, one last character archive and such. So here we are. Just a reminder, DC Talk is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please go over to randomchatter.com to get more information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and membership and access to our TeePublic store. Yeah, I flubbed that a bit. Sue me. It's cold. Anyway, on to our news. So, first up, the Blue Beetle movie is apparently going to be premiering in theaters instead of HBO Max. This is a sign that, things are starting to let up, pandemic-wise, maybe. I know it doesn't look that way right now, what with the, Omicron variant going around everywhere like wildfire, but that seems to be passing through pretty rapidly, and who knows what next year is going to look like. In other movie news, Shazam 2 will reportedly feature an appearance by Wonder Woman. This makes sense, considering that Shazam draws from a lot of Greek mythology, so it makes sense that Wonder Woman, who is descended from Greek gods, would show up. However, do not see anything anywhere saying that Gal Gadot is going to be appearing in Shazam Fury of the Gods, which did prompt me to go back and check. Yes, there have been other women who have played Wonder Woman in the past, such as her mother, Hippolyta, Artemis, Nubia, Cassandra Sandsmark, Donna Troy, Yara Flor have all worn the mantle of Wonder Woman at one time or another, and I believe at one point when I was still reading comics, both Hippolyta and Diana were both Wonder Woman at the same time. But it's been a while since I read that, so that could... I could be off my rocker on that. Wouldn't be the first time. Apparently Michael Keaton has been added to the Batgirl cast, which is awesome, because, yay, more Michael Keaton as Batman and or Bruce Wayne. Further confusing up which timeline this is running off of, since, J.K. Simmons was from the Snyderverse. This is gonna apparently be from either pre or post Flash movie. Who knows? Whatever's happening with that, it's gonna be fun. And then we got another trailer released for Naomi, and it looks like it's going to be a fun time as well. I'm really looking forward to this, especially after reading up on her character for the archive last week. And that's going to be premiering the week of January 11th, so... Tuesday, January 11th is when the first episode drops, so have a watch, and we'll see how things go. I'm still looking forward to it. So that's all for our news. It's a very, very light week. But I did want to give dip into the character archive one last time for this year. And considering the storylines for Young Justice and the fact that I've done the other two founding members of Young Justice, I figured I would dip into the character archive and pull out Kal-El, a.k.a. Connor Kent, a.k.a. Superboy. This version of Superboy... Now, I need to note right up front, this version of Superboy is not the original Superboy in DC Comics. The original Superboy was a teenage version of Superman that ran some decades ago, and basically it was his adventures as Superboy before he became Superman. This is not who we're talking about. We are talking about the version of Superboy that first made his appearance in Adventures of Superman number 500 back in June 1993. It was created by Carl Kessel and Tom Grummet. Superboy is a metahuman clone designed by Project Cadmus as a duplicate and closest equivalent to Superman. In 2003, his origin was later retconned, and it has been established that he was a Kryptonian human hybrid made from the DNA of Superman and Lex Luthor. This updated version of his origin has pretty much been what you've seen in media and on the page pretty much since 2003. See also Titans, see also Young Justice, see also... I can't think of any other media examples at the moment. I'm sure they'll come to me eventually. Probably once I'm done recording. Superboy was created by Project Cadmus after the death of Superman. 12 attempts were made to clone Superman, all of which failed. Superboy was the 13th and the only successful one. He was grown in less than a week, given artificial memories, and underwent artificial maturation. Think the clones in Star Wars. But he was released too early, so he appeared as a teenager calling himself Superman. The Superboy moniker kind of stuck because, well, again, teenage boy. He shows up in Immetropolis insisting that he's Superman, but also admits to anyone who's going to listen to him, not many people were listening to him, that he's actually a clone. After Superman got better, after he returned from the dead, Superboy began operating alongside Superman, but refused to refer to himself as Superman's sidekick. I guess his partnership with Superman eventually got dissolved. He later rejoined Cadmus. I believe he moved to Hawaii for a while. And he began working as a field agent alongside Double X and Guardian. Superman eventually takes Superboy to the Fortress. He visits Krypton in a virtual reality simulator and gets to experience life as a Kryptonian soldier named Kal-El of the Second House of El. Superman tells Superboy that he considers him family and bestows Superboy with the name Kal-El. And Superboy is overjoyed by this because he finally has an actual name of his own. After Cadmus is shut down, Kal-El moves to Superboy, moves to Metropolis, but Superman eventually invites him to live with his parents in Smallville. Kal-El eventually moves to Smallville and takes the name Connor Kent, Clark's cousin. Connor Kent and Tim Drake first meet when Tim requests his help defeating Metallo, who has showed up in Gotham because, of course, he has. While in Gotham, Poison Ivy takes control of Connor, and Tim follows them both back to Hawaii. Superboy and Robin eventually defeat them both, Poison Ivy and Metallo. The relationship between Superboy and Robin starts out pretty much the same as that of Batman and Superman. Very, very argumentative. You know, one's super serious and one's super not. But Tim and Connor are kind of their own guys, and Tim, Connor, and Bart Allen eventually become good friends and the founding members of Young Justice. The team disbands after the apparent death of Donna Troy sometime later. Connor is later invited to join the Teen Titans, along with many of his former Young Justice teammates, like Robin and Bart Allen, who's now going by the name Kid Flash, and others. This is when it's discovered that he's a Kryptonian-human hybrid. This is when the retcon happens. It was originally assumed that the human DNA came from the DNA of Cadmus's executive director, Paul Westfield, but Robin receives an email from somewhere with information that Connor's human DNA actually belongs to Lex Luthor. Drama ensues. Superboy's Kryptonian powers start to manifest later, after he joins the Towers, the Titans. Hold that thought. We'll get back to that whole thing in a bit. But he soon adjusts to his Kryptonian powers. He also gets involved with Cassie Sandsmart, who was operating as Wonder Girl at the time. During the Infinite Crisis storyline, Connor is eventually killed after multiple battles with Superboy Prime. Connor dies in Cassie's arms and is buried in Metropolis along with the Superman and Lois Lane Kent from Earth 2. Cassie leads a memorial broadcast over the internet, and even Lex mourns the loss of Connor as his son. Yeah, apparently Lex does occasionally have a heart. In the Final Crisis Legion of Three Worlds storyline, it's eventually revealed that Starman actually put Connor in a Kryptonian healing chrysalis for about 1,000 years. He wakes up in the 31st century, and he and Bart Allen, who had also been killed off and then resurrected, once again join the fight against Superboy Prime. They are both then sent back to the 21st century to resume their lives. Because, again, comic books, these things happen. I'm sure there's lots and lots of drama with both Connor and Bart showing up alive and well after they'd been dead. These things happen. Superboy is reintroduced in the New 52 as, again, a human Kryptonian clone, but created by an organization called Nowhere. They don't actually say what Nowhere stands for. I could probably look it up, but I couldn't. I didn't see anything. Basically, whatever the acronym is, it's a bunch of words that spell out Nowhere. The first name, the first letters of which spell out Nowhere. Later, there's a thing with multiple versions of both Kon-El and John Kent that I'm sure made sense when reading it in the comics, but it just sounds really, really confusing. And eventually, they basically just boil it down to the one of each. And yeah, I don't know what happened with that. Superboy's powers and abilities. So here's the thing with Superboy's abilities and why I said that his Kryptonian powers didn't kick in right away. So back when the scientists were trying to figure out how to clone Superman, it was discovered that Superman had some kind of bioelectric aura around him that gave him some of his powers, like flight, invulnerability, etc. This aura was translated into a telekinetic field, referred to as tactile telekinesis, to simulate those powers and worked into Superboy's genetic makeup. It's not a perfect replication of Superman's powers, but it does allow Connor to use telekinesis up to a point. He can create a sandstorm if he wants. And like Superman, he does get his powers from the sun, but he is not weakened by the sun going out, as it did in The Final Night and other such stories. Connor's weaknesses, much like Superman, he's vulnerable to kryptonite and magic. Also because of the aforementioned jerry-rigging of his powers, he's also vulnerable to energy-based attacks and gaseous materials. Notable groups, Young Justice, Teen Titans, The Ravers, Legion of Superheroes, Justice League, Project Cadmus, Superman of America, and the White Lantern Corps. I think that last one might have something to do with Blackest Night. It's that storyline's on the list. I will get to it eventually. Interesting trivia, and again, this may play into why this is this may play into a lot of things, actually. In 2006, a court decision returned the rights to the Superboy character to the heirs of Jerry Siegel, creator of Superman, Superboy, etc. The decision was made 6 days before Superboy's death in Infinite Crisis. This was pure coincidence. I'm sure the publication had the comic had already printed. Artwork depicting Superboy through about 2007 had his logo obscured for this reason. The issue seems to have resolved itself at some point because when Superboy is resurrected, he's wearing his trademark black shirt with the Superman shield. Also, this one's from Mike, if you're listening. I don't talk about sports. Okay. In the Smallville Titans spin-off comic, Connor teams up with Speedy, Miss Marvel, Blue Beetle, and the Wonder Twins. This says Zan and Gina, but come on, it's the Wonder Twins. At Jay Garrick School for the Gifted. Ripoff of X-Men much? I haven't read the Smallville comics, so I'm just going to make fun of the fact that Jay Garrick is gone all Professor X on us, apparently. Most notable DC comic storylines, Titans Young Justice Graduation Day, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, Legion of the Three Worlds, War of the Supermen, and Hell, H-E-L, on Earth. This was a Superman, Supergirl, Superboy crossover, in which, you know, many things happened. I didn't read up on that storyline, sorry. Appearances in media, in animation, he's appeared in Young Justice, voiced by Nolan North, Robot Chicken, voiced by Zac Efron, and Reign of the Supermen, voiced by Cameron Monaghan. Live action, he was in Smallville, played by Lucas Grabel, and Titans, played by Joshua Orpin. I'm only talking about the ones where he's actually voiced by someone or played by someone. I'm not going to go through the laundry list of appearances he's made that are not voiced anywhere. Video games, DC Universe Online, voiced by Greg Miller. Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham, voiced by Scott Porter. And, this one's interesting, on radio, BBC Radio 5 adapted the Death of Superman, Funeral for a Friend, and Reign of the Superman storylines into a radio drama. And in that, Superboy is voiced by Carrie Schell. That's pretty much it. I would like to say one more thing. It's not really a Watchtower per se, but I did finally get a chance to watch Bebo Saves Christmas. It is adorable. And if you can find it, I recommend watching it when you get a chance. Especially if you like the Bebo character as he shows up in Legends on the CW. But that's it for this week. We'll talk to you next year. Have a safe New Year.